what tools can we use, what tools can we develop and deploy so that people can find the information that they need. And what's happened over time is lots of different federal agencies have different websites with their information, you know, providing information that they should. And we realize that if we want to make it easier for people, one thing to maybe do is to have some more standardization across our different agencies so that once you learn how one website works, how data retrieval at one website works, then that would work on another website too. So, for instance, I'm lucky in that I get to oversee the Census Bureau, which is just has a treasure trove of information. So once you learn that website, shouldn't you then be able to use the same tools, use the same skills to, say, access another website, say, the Bureau of Economic Analysis, which is another bureau within Commerce, and they're the folks who, for instance, produce GDP.
So how are you ensuring that standardization is happening?
Yeah, so the Department of Commerce, and Secretary Pritzker has really led the charge on this. We are hiring a chief data officer, and we're also starting up the Data Advisory Council, and they are charged with on how can we make our websites, how can we make our data just basically easier to get, easier to use. And so because they'll be housed within the office of the secretary, they'll have a greater span of controls than say, just myself. And we're going to bring in outside experts, a lot of people from the private sector who have good ideas of what data retrieval tools are going to be like, say, 5 years from now. And that way we can start employing, you know, much better methods. Again, so the average citizen, the average person can easily find the information they're looking for.
Now, from your perspective of, you know, the census is a huge, huge treasure trove of data. What steps have you taken or asked census to take to really meet that standardization? Or are you kind of waiting until that CDO gets in place and that advisory committee starts doing their job?
So we're doing both. So we have to do things in the short run to make our data, you know, more accessible. And then we have to be part of this kind of longer term strategy. So census came out with a new redesign of their website earlier this year. And so that hopefully will make, you know, data easier to find. And now, because of the way the website's designed, we can better evaluate, you know, where people are going on the website and how they're progressing through the website so we can see, okay, this seems to be an area that needs to be improved. This is where we need to grease the skids a little bit to make the data easier to find. Something else that we're doing too is we're spending a lot more time talking to our data customers, asking them about their experiences on our website, accessing our data, and getting more direct feedback and then more quickly incorporating that into how our website is designed.
And in fact, one of the things you guys did recently was participate in a data jam, which is, you know, one of those cool names, whether it's a data palooza or data jam. I think this must be a key part of that education effort to both understand from your customer's perspective, but also to let them know, hey, we have this data that's available and it could be, you know, have some potential value.
Yeah, these data jams are really great because you have these people who come to these data jams are people who want to solve problems. And often what they don't know is what information is available. So again, take the Census Bureau, one of the big data agencies within the Department of Commerce, one of the big data agencies within the federal government. Census does about 80 different surveys a year, and most people don't know that. And so, for instance, one of the big surveys that we do is something called the American Community Survey. So whenever you hear statistics about your community, about the demographic makeup of your community, that comes from the American Community Survey. For instance, how many veterans live in, say, Arlington, Virginia? What's the racial and ethnic makeup? What's the income distribution? How many families are there? How many families with two or more kids are there? All that comes from this American Community Survey data. And so at these data jams, it's good because what we can do is we can educate people saying, okay, here is the data we have. And then they know what problems they're trying to solve. So we're helping them develop solutions.
Do you get a sense that this is one way of educating the public? How else are you reaching out to businesses? How else are you reaching out to developers? Because not everyone can come to a data jam and people may say, well, that's good for that, but I don't care about the census data. I care about, you know, economic data.
One of the things that we've been doing, especially over the past year, is we've just been traveling around the country, you know, talking to businesses. And the big challenge we have is that when we're talking about, say, the business community, there's 6 million businesses in this country. So, you know, how can we communicate to all of them? So what we've been doing is we've been going around the country to different metropolitan areas, and we've been targeting different kind of industry groups, you know, asking them about how they find out, you know, about data, what data they use, more importantly, what data they need, and then figuring out these communication strategies on how to do this. So one advantage of being here in Washington, for instance, is there's a lot of trade associations here. So often if we talk to a single trade association and tell them about our data that their members may like, might be able to use to make better decisions, then those trade associations will spread the word out to, you know, their many, many members. So that's one way that I think is very important and one way in which we're going to have to use more going forward.
Are you guys providing new sets of tools or different tools to help analyze the data?
Yeah, so when it comes to the tools, that's a fascinating question. So we're currently experimenting with some new tools. So for instance, which ways can we use mapping technology, for instance, so people can kind of drill into the data? But more generally, what we've been doing is we've been talking to any number of private companies who are really good at this and trying to learn what are the best practices in terms of kind of the tools that they have, and can we incorporate them on our websites, for instance, or how should we partner with them going forward to make it just easier for people to get the data?
The mapping technology you're talking about, can you just give me a little bit more details?
Yeah, and so for instance, Secretary Pritzker and myself, we went out to a conference in San Diego this summer. It was ESRI, and ESRI is one of the biggest provider of mapping tools out there. So we could talk to, there's literally 16,000 people there about, you know, what tools are being developed in mapping. And what I like about mapping as well is there's a more and more people are understand mapping tools just because of their interactions on the internet. So this is technology that seems to be working very well. It's a technology that lots of people know. And so it's a technology that we are looking to use more. So currently, if you go to the Census website, there's about 8 different mapping tools on the Census website, but we want to consolidate those and make those even easier to use.
How are you changing your business processes to make data more accessible and more valuable? Because a lot of times, that collection can be the inefficiency part of the data or the making it public. You know, one of the things about data.gov that I've found frustrating is that you don't know what's there, so you don't know what you don't know. How are you changing the way you collect and present data to solve maybe the, you know, you don't know what you don't know problem?
We have this big question of how do we present all of this information so that people can actually find it and use it? And if you go to data.gov, for instance, there's about 100,000 data sets. So it really is kind of finding a needle in the haystack. In order to find something there, you really have to know what you're looking for, you know, beforehand. Finding something is just really difficult. And so that's why we want to really solicit the input from kind of outside experts. You know, that's why we want to bring in a chief data officer. That's why we want to bring in this advisory committee made up of industry experts, you know, people who can think about what is the world going to look like in terms of data 5 years from now so we can better prepare and get ourselves aligned for what the future is going to look like so that someone like yourself, if you go to data.gov, there'll be good tools there which have already been vetted, you know, by the private sector just because they're innovating so quickly in this space. You know, we have to work with them. We have to partner with them. And we want to do that because that will increase the user experience.
Going forward now, just to, you know, you talked about the chief data officer, the advisory committee. What else are you guys doing? Where do you see this effort around data, transparency, accessibility going from your perspective over the next, you know, 3, 6, 9 months?
One of the things that we're trying to do is just to try to get a lot of input, not just from government, but from the private sector and from ordinary citizens. So our department has already put out a number of requests for information on various data initiatives. So we're soliciting input for kind of the best ideas. So for instance, NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, they have the Weather Service and they just have a ton of climate data. They produce about 29 terabytes of data a day about the weather. And they have this big constraint in how do you actually distribute 29 terabytes of data a day so that people can use it. And so what they did last spring is they put out an RFI, request for information, and they got about 60 responses from the private sector and from universities about how we can better distribute this information. So over the next 3, 6, 9 months, you're going to see more RFIs coming out from just a variety of bureaus asking the public for their input on how we can better deliver data.
Maybe early on this, can you give me a sense of where those other RFIs are coming from, which bureaus and maybe which topics, even generally speaking?
For bureaus, I know the Census Bureau is going to be putting out some. NIST has already put out one. They may be putting out some more. And I think NOAA is going to be doing that as well. But I'm not exactly sure who is doing what RFIs. I just know that there is a pipeline of these things coming out.
And then I guess the other piece of that is, so NOAA got about 60 responses. What's going to come from those responses, that RFI? Do you have a sense yet? I know you may not have a direct link to NOAA in terms of they don't fall under your bureau, but do you get a sense of what comes from these RFIs?
Yeah, so I think what's going to happen with some of these RFIs, you're going to have two things. One is you're going to have RFPs, and then other RFIs might just result in us saying, okay, these are great ideas. We can actually do those ourselves. One challenge we have, though, kind of going forward in this data space is, in terms of like data tools and data technology, that's a field that's just changing so rapidly, you know, it's hard for us to keep up. And so partnering with the private sector or partnering with universities, partnering with people who are really experts in this area is really the way to go. So sometimes we can do some internal things to make our websites better, for instance. Other times, we're just going to have to partner with the private sector just because of the nature of the challenge.